Hello everyone, welcome to Be The Change Media Network. And today I have a very exciting and a new feature of the network. Today is Be The Change Podcast Live. And this is gonna air on Friday on the Be The Change Podcast feed. But if you're watching us now live, hopefully some people will join soon. This will also be recorded and it'll be posted on the Instagram feed as well. So you can go back and watch it if you'd like. I'm joined by a very special guest today. We actually just met in person, so this is also very cool because a lot of my guests I have to do virtually. So I'm very excited to actually have an in-person interview. Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and then we'll dive in?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Abdurrahman. I'm the founder of a social enterprise called Urban Rise. We basically provide financial literacy workshops for young adults from inner city London.
Amazing. So tell me about what got you started with this work that you're doing. What motivated you to start doing it?
What motivated me is interesting. So from a very young age, I spent my time across South East London and also East London. And both areas have, you know, high levels of poverty, but also come with their own, you know, socioeconomic problems within itself. And so I was heavily involved in the community, and one of the community get people used to organize community carousels. So they used to invite Somali professionals basically to come into community and speak to us, so it could be lawyers, accountants. Kind of like motivated, saying like, listen, there's, you know, there's good career paths out there. And I always had ideas on how to improve it. I think I was like 16, 17, or maybe 18, just turned maybe 18 at that point. And I was studying government politics, geography, and business at school, at A-levels. And I was very interested in different ways, and like, oh, we can do this, we can do that. And then they came back to me saying like, oh, listen, like, respectfully, like, we love your ideas, but we just can't afford it. Like, we basically kind of like just put this together for the community, but we can't generally afford this. And that's kind of when it clicked for me. And I was also starting to go on politics at the time.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was very aware of austerity. This is before COVID, by the way. Brexit was the biggest thing that was going on for young people. Way before COVID came around. So it was Brexit was a massive topic issue. They were talking about the Conservatives. Let's not even get into that.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool. Like, everything's going on. Everyone keeps telling me there's no funding, there's no money. I'm going to go get my millions, go get my money, and then I'll come back to my community and help out. In that pursuit, I was very interested in the consultancy industry and helping people out. And alongside it, two things kind of happened. So in starting Urban Rise and financial literacy becoming a major topic, I was blessed to have an older sister who taught me a bit about financial education.
Uh-huh.
She paid for university all for herself.
Wow.
And then throughout COVID, when 2020 hit, it became a conversation in terms of cryptocurrency, personal finance, so on and so forth. And I was lucky to be blessed to kind of save and learn how to save and have the basic principles of saving. So it started from peer-to-peer conversations, then it kind of went to like a random person from a friend, or a friend hitting me up saying, can I speak to you about this? And I'm like, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Then I got invited saying, oh, we've heard you do X, Y, Z, like, do you want to come talk? I'm like, I've never talked to them. Like, what are you talking about? That led me to do like 2 years of research into the topic while at university. I started business management at university, but genuinely didn't care about it. I was just doing a lot of research into what's financial education. What's out there, who's doing it, are workshops good, are they impactful, so on and so forth. So that's kind of where it started from, until we got to a point where, okay, there's a lot of good players out there, but there's no one really helping out my community. That's kind of where it started from.
Interesting. Okay, so then continue with that story. So you did all of this research, and I think that's really interesting as well, kind of taking your college experience and your university experience, and obviously doing it a little bit differently and going your own path and doing what you want and investigating your own things. I think that's something that I really encourage people to do. And I think that's what I've also been able to do with this podcast, which has been amazing. But continue the story. So then how did you bring it back to your community?
So the reason why I was able to bring it back to my community is because for me, in doing my research, I always wanted to like signpost people. So I don't consider myself like an expert matter in the field. I don't consider myself to be like, oh, I know it all. It was more of like, I don't mind having a conversation.
Yeah.
So if me and you were sitting across someone with friends and we're just talking about, you know, financial literacy or how to save better and so on and so forth, then I could just give my opinion. I don't care. But now that someone's asking me to come do a workshop to a bunch of people I don't know, that is where things get interesting.
Yeah.
Who are they to trust me? So for me, I was trying to like collate or say like, go, I'm saying this, basically saying what I've heard here, go check out this book, go check out that podcast. That is kind of where I started out from. And then I realized, okay, cool. People are still listening to me. People are still at least appreciating the stories and how I'm kind of delivering it in a cheeky little way, my little own spin on it. maybe I can make something out of this because there's no one in my community that looks like me, that comes from a similar background to me, use the experience of me talking like them and delivering to them. But yeah, that's kind of where it came from.
Interesting. And now, how often would you say that you're doing speaking engagements and things like that in your community, but also maybe outside as well?
So I'll kind of give you like the overall summary. So when I stopped doing research was around like, and I started calling and started going into it, was around early 2022. Well, that's the same time I entered my university competition, where I came, where I won best idea for audio choice award for best idea. That gave me £500. Then I crowdfunded another £800 or so to host my first public event. And that public event gave me the extra emphasis to be called. It's actually a much needed thing out there for my community. I think around 50 people came to our first public event in September 2022. I officially registered my company in December 2022. And since then, we've reached around 550 young people, over 100 hours of financial literacy, the talks and workshops have been delivered, 35 being workshops and talks, and around 91% of attendees have either enjoyed or recommend our session. So overall, it's been very, very interesting. But it comes in, you know, it depends on in terms of what type of youth organization I'm going to. So right now, I deliver my workshop to youth organizations that have young people from the age of 16 to 25 who are from a low social background, from who are from underprivileged communities. That's who I'm mainly trying to target. But yeah, I'm developing the arm where I'm going into different spaces where I can, you know, charge them 2-3 times what I would normally cost a workshop for a young individual, young organization, and then go deliver them for free.
Gotcha. So tell me about the workshops as far as how they're structured, what you're talking about. Give me a little overview. I mean, in simple terms, as much as you can.
No, so it all is in simple terms. Like, we legit go over it all. Like, anyone that would ever watch this video, or even I can ask you, like, I think you studied in the States, right, when you were younger. Did you guys learn financial literacy in the curriculum in school?
No, which is a big complaint for a lot of people, even like the tax system and stuff, nothing.
So it's exactly the same issue over here, right? So there are many, many different surveys. So research done in it, around 77% of Gen Z say they're recall something anything about personal finance. It goes up to 90% in some surveys and data as well. So it's very, very interesting. So around 79% of Gen Zs haven't studied financial literacy or money management in school, right? That is a massive, massive issue.
That's a huge problem.
Now, let's go into, if I throw out just when it comes to taxes and places and so on and so forth, we can go into a bit more. But the major thing that I kind of speak about and tackle is about, mainly about, you know, conversation, right? Do you speak to your parents about financial, money management, this, that? No, not really. A lot of people are kind of awkward. Like, I grew up in a household where it was a taboo. And it wasn't a taboo based on the fact that I couldn't speak to my parents about it, because the fact that I knew we weren't as privileged as other people, and I just felt shy saying, "Mom, I want this," or "Mom, why can't we afford this?" I just knew we couldn't, and I just couldn't shut up much. Like, maybe tell my siblings, "Oh, I wish we could do this," but other than that, nothing else. There's many, many other things out there. I think Deloitte done a research, the research on Gen Zs. 35% say that their mental health has deteriorated in the last year, and cost of living is one of the main causes in and around that. I think there's many other data and statistics out there. But I think the bottom line is the fact that you mentioned taxes. One of the main three things that I kind of go over is taxes, in terms of what taxes is, in terms of a lot of people don't know how taxes work. And once you do enter the workspace, you're going to need to figure it out. Payslips in and around that as well. So there's a statistics on, this is working adults in the UK. So 1/4 of working adults don't check their payslips, and another 1/4 don't know how to read their payslips. So this causes many issues, and I counted this issue as well, where I got given an emergency tax code and was getting taxed too much. And I shared this personal story. Like, I didn't know how to check it. I didn't check it for ages until the fact that someone told me if I'm getting taxed too much, I should get money at the end of the year. I didn't know what was going on.
Oh.
I had to go through that process. And since then, there's been two individuals that have come from my workshop who had the exact same issue that I was able to help them out from.
Wow.
Banking. I delivered a workshop in the university where there were around, I think there were like just under 20 people maybe in the university workshop. And I asked them in the pre-survey question, do you know what APR is or AER is? Have you studied it in university? Do you know about it? All of them said no in the pre-survey. I brought it up again in the workshop saying it's about interest, trying to give them some clues. And every single one of them didn't know about it. I'm like, okay, cool. Put your hand up if you've borrowed overdraft or anything from the card or use a credit card. Every single one of them put their hand up. At that point, I was shocked.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's scary.
At that point, I was shocked because none of them were aware.
Yeah.
Some of them were aware to the fact that they would have to pay back, but they were unaware how much it would be.
Yeah.
One of them came back saying like, oh, I wouldn't be able to live and survive at university without borrowing.
Uh-huh.
Yet he didn't know, he, that specific individual, assumed he wouldn't have to pay back anything more than he borrowed. So that was very, that was very shocking. That kind of, stuff like that kind of demotivates me in a sense where like, has society as a collective failed? Because I don't put ownership on the state itself in terms of they have to teach us this, even though I feel like the responsibility lies upon them. But is it the parents as well? Is it their family and friends? Where should we learn this?
That's,
I think it's everyone's responsibility, but no one's taking ownership of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does demotivate me, but it also gives me motivation the fact that at least I know them 20 individuals now can go on and, you know,
and pass it on.
Yeah, pass it on and check it out, and then make sure that, you know, educate themselves and be aware of it.
Where, who do you think should be in charge of doing that education? Should, I mean, a lot of people I think it should be schools. You know, maybe we should have like a separate financial literacy course that everyone has to take, or maybe it should be ingrained in civics classes, like in the US, like government classes.
What, yeah, so in the UK we have something called citizenship, and
apparently
it's meant to be in the curriculum
in
the UK. There are many great individuals, organizations who are pushing for this fight, who are trying to influence policy. Martin Lewis is one of them. But one I really would like to shout out is an organization called MyBank, who have basically, I've interacted with in the past before. They are amazing. They go into schools from primary school, secondary schools, and do a lot of work with homeless people as well, young care relievers who are facing homelessness. And they do a lot of great work in terms of teaching them the important skills, but not every school is able to get a MyBank in, per se. Now, I feel like it is on the government's, especially in the UK, it is the government's responsibility to provide that. Because if you are setting a curriculum and saying financial literacy should be included, but where are the resources? Where are the training for the teachers, right? You're making it aware that it's important, but you're not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not involving these organizations, such as the MyBanks of the world, to help out schools, to educate them. So I feel like it is, I think mainly it would be on schools and governments, but it has to be a collaborative effort from these great charity organizations that are willing to go into schools. Where what I'm trying to do is more about raise awareness in terms of the areas that won't be able to afford it. So for example, as I said, the MyBanks of the world or these other charity organizations that are going into schools, some schools can afford external providers to come in. Some schools are prioritizing other things, while other schools are in, like, how can I say this in a nice way, in low budget areas or low, you know, school districts that are not, you know, have a lot of funding, or they're always underperforming, so they have to focus on their English and maths and passing rates rather than getting external people in. These schools are often the people from the same demographic as me. These schools are the people who need it the most, right? And I feel like that's the young people I'm trying to speak to who have already left the school system. The Gen Zs have already left the school system, who are entering the adult workforce and trying to find an apprenticeship or a job or go to university, and they don't know what they're doing. They're just signing away and they're on certain things and they genuinely don't have an understanding of it. That's kind of who I'm trying to target.
I think it was really interesting when you were talking about the taboo kind of nature of talking finances with your family, because I think that's a huge thing that also inhibits people's learning when it comes to these things. Like, I remember my dad would always do taxes, but never really explained to us what that process looked like, kind of how you go about it.
Yeah.
And now with me having to do them myself, I don't even know where to start. You know, like, I'm FaceTiming him being like, okay, I need help. What am I doing?
Help me.
But exactly. Do you think that Gen Z, and do you think that, I guess, as younger generations are getting older, do you think that it's changing a little bit, or do you think that's something that really has to change a lot more than it already is?
I think it is changing, however, not fast enough.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like we've reached the age as a generation where we, at first, I feel like we were just trying to have uncomfortable conversations, and it was a right uncomfortable conversation, but it wasn't yielding the productive responses and, you know, progress that we were trying to anticipate and have. And, you know, there's a lot of different change makers out there who are pushing certain, you know, conversations. I think the biggest one of all might be the environment.
Mm-hmm.
We might be inheriting an environment. Some people who are not, you know, they feel like, listen, the old generation has failed us, right? And that's a bigger conversation because that impacts everyone. But when it comes to, I guess, I wouldn't like to call it niche, but a niche conversation such as financial literacy, it does depend on who you're speaking to. Some people are just more comfortable and have a relationship with their parents or older people than to have a conversation. Oh, I don't know how to budget. Like, have you budgeted before? And lo and behold, I think the most uncomfortable reason in and around it is because some older generation or some people in the older generation don't know themselves. And I think as you become, 16 to 25, you realize, and it's a catch 22, but you realize adults don't have all the answers. You're no longer a child now. You realize your mom or your dad or your uncle or your favorite auntie or whatever don't have all the answers for you, but you can still have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
That is the difference between it. They might not be able to tell you, Adam, go do this, or Muhammad, go do that, but they can easily tell you, okay, let's have a conversation. You want to talk about budget? I've tried budgeting this way, it didn't work for me. Do you want to go learn it together? Oh yeah, cool. There was this blog or this video or this Instagram, TikTok or whatever it is
yeah.
that I've seen. And you can kind of go through this journey together rather than being saying, I want to know how to budget. Sorry, I can't help you. End of conversation.
Yeah. I think also opening it up to learning together, I think that's really important, where it's not necessarily this hierarchy of you asking your parents questions. Because then I think a lot of times the conversations get shut down. Like you were saying, like, if they don't know something, it's like, nope, changing the topic, where it's like, let's just learn it together. If you've never done this before, let's figure it out. You know, yeah. I think that's so important. So I am going to ask you the signature last question. Lots of young people want to create change, want to make a difference, but they may not know how to get started with that work. What advice do you have for those people who may be watching, listening?
If I'm being honest, I was anticipating this question because I've done my research myself.
We talk about this a little bit.
So I think my biggest thing is before you start, make sure your heart's in the right place. Can't be doing it for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, once you find and understand what the correct reasons or the pushes are for you, you can keep that to yourself. You don't have to explain that to nobody. However, if you are doing it for the wrong reasons, every single person that you come across can see through you. If you're doing, I don't know, I want to become an environmentalist activist because I want to become famous and everyone wants to, you know, I want, you know, everyone say, oh, how amazing you are. Everyone can see straight through you. However, if you want to really become a change maker, you really have impact and really just try and change people's lives in a genuine way, in an authentic way, it'll be clear. And you start at home.
I love that.
And home is wherever you call home. Yeah. That's where it is. And if you change that, that means a lot to you. And that's it, to be honest.
I love that. I think that's great advice. And I also love, I think the idea of purpose is really important to me, because I think there are a lot of change makers that I've talked with where I can just see that passion. And like you said, I can see that they have a really genuine reason that they're doing these things, and I can tell that. And then there are other conversations that I've had where I'm like, I'm not sure that this is sustainable, and I don't know if you're doing this for the reason that maybe this should be done. You know what I mean? Just because I think, like you said, you don't really have to explain it. It doesn't have to be like an answer for people. And it also doesn't even have to be, there's not like a textbook motivation for this work, but you can kind of see through it when there's not necessarily like a...
Do you know your why?
Yeah. I think my thing is educating people. So I think that my parents are both teachers, and I've grown up with just these really strong role models for improving the world. My motto is, to whom much is given, much is expected. And okay. So this idea that I was raised by amazing parents and kind of shown this public service mindset really in practice. My parents worked like 6 to 6 every day when I was growing up. They're just like workhorses, and I admire them so much for it. And it's a pretty thankless job in the US, I'm sure, as you know. The teacher salary is not what it should be, and we're losing teachers left and right because of that. But overworked, underpaid, horrible. And so they were really doing the job because they loved it, and because they saw these thousands of students whose lives they were changing.
Yeah.
And I got to be in the community while they were doing that and hearing all of the amazing things that people said about my parents. And I just knew, I was like, one day I want to figure out how I can do that same thing. And for me, it's probably not teaching. I know that. But this was a way. I love journalism and I love telling people stories. So this was when I started this, I was like, this is a great way for me to make a small dent and make the change that I'd like to see. But I love amplifying other people's stories, because I think just being able to share the work that other people are doing is so important to me.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Do you want to answer your why? You don't have to if you don't want to. But
I think if we'll leave it for next time. Come on.
Okay. We'll leave sounds it for next good. Time. So you heard it here. There will be a next time. But yes, tune in to hear this on Friday when it comes out, and then tomorrow there will be another checking in with Changemakers. But until then, be the change you wish to see in the world. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very
much. This was so fun. Bye, guys.